I read in the book that when she came there, she thought that all those common people really needed was culture to lift them up, that she didn't really have to worry about their material well-being. That was kind of irrelevant on the important plane, the philosophical plane. I guess those are my words, not yours, of course. Talk about what Hull House started out as being, you know, what it was doing there in Chicago, and what it turned into. I think because of her learnings, the mission and the service that Hull House provided was radically modified.
Yeah, it's a very interesting transformation that it goes through. I should explain what a settlement house is, because it's often misunderstood, or was. They do still exist, but they've changed some more. But back when Adams founded Hull House, and it was one of the earliest settlement houses in the country, a settlement house was a place where educated young people could live. And it was located in a working class neighborhood, an immigrant neighborhood. So in other words, these upper middle class people were dropping themselves into a completely different world that they knew nothing about. And that was the idea. Separate, there was the noblesse oblige aspect of they had gone to college, they had read the great literature, they could offer classes in literature, music, and, you know, bring the culture to the working people. That was part of it. But what Adams emphasized was that if you live in a democracy, it's a very wrong thing for you to live a life isolated in your own class. Prosperous people, that's the kind of life they lead. And so she wanted to create a place for herself and also other people to live that would introduce them to other Americans, the rest of the nation, and know more about what their lives were like and broaden their social sympathies. And that's an idea that was very popular amongst the moral philosophers of the day. It's very important to have a broad social sympathy, and this was a way to sort of live a life around that idea, so that you weren't alienated or distrustful of people whose backgrounds were different than your own. So that was that main idea. Of course, they did create clubs for children and adults around themes that the neighbors sought. They offered a kindergarten. They had music classes. They had lectures. They had gymnasium so kids could play sports. It was an amazing place after a while. Eventually, it grew into a 13-building complex that filled a city block. It was the most lively, fun, fascinating place in Chicago. So, and people came from all over the city. Of course, the neighbors came and thoroughly loved it. I mean, there were many children whose lives were changed by the opportunities they encountered at Hull House and the friendships they formed and the opportunities. They suddenly began to realize that, you know, if they wanted a higher education, they were encouraged to think about how to get it. Adams often arranged for scholarships at the University of Chicago. And so, you know, the ones that wanted that were given opportunities. It was just a place where you could sort of find anything you wanted. And that was Adams' vision, too. However, what happened was, in addition to being good neighbors, which was what she thought of they were doing, and of course, if someone was sick or ill or needed help in a crisis, they were very good neighbors to their neighbors. They knew them socially. This was not a matter of, you know, after a while, it was not a matter of, you know, the wealthy women over there, maybe they'll be able to fish us out of this problem. It was much more, you know, Jane Addams will help us because we know her and she's helpful. And so they did that, but they never wanted, as you mentioned, to address material needs. Adams was a classic upper middle class person. She thought the material conditions were really not so important. What mattered was people's spirits, you know, what their flowering of their human potential. And she didn't understand that if you have very limited material resources, i.e. are living in poverty or on the edge of poverty, that it's very difficult to have much of the rest of a life going on. And that's what she learned during the Depression of 1893-97. And she writes about it. It's clear that she suddenly understands that material conditions can significantly affect your spiritual state. It seems obvious to anyone who doesn't have the background she had, but it was a lesson for her. And one of the things she saw was the working people, they were unemployed, their families were sinking into serious poverty. You know, many times they were men who were unable to support their families, and these men would commit suicide or lose their minds, go into the poorhouse, which was also the insane asylum, because they could no longer cope with the humiliation of their failure to take care of their families. And that was what really taught her that material conditions matter a lot. it was partly also her experience with the trade unions, because they were educating her about their need for wages, the refusal of employers to negotiate with employees about wages. And so she began to absorb and embrace what you would call a more materialistic reform agenda, you know, fighting for the rights of unions to organize, working on issues like the length of the working day. The eight-hour day was mere dream in the minds of workers at that time, but labor unions were organizing to get bills passed in state legislatures. Adams helped to lobby the Illinois state legislature to get a bill passed for the laborers in the sweatshop industry. So she began to work on these kinds of issues, and that's how she became really the person that we know as so famous, in the sense that she became a national leader in the progressive reform movement and was active in many on many issues, and it grew out of the lessons.